Before we talk about any of this other stuff, you got some East Texas in you, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I spent a couple years of my college experience in 82, 83 in Longview at Letourneau College, Letourneau University now. And I was sharing before we began, I remember I was my senior year in high school in November. That Thanksgiving flew from Syracuse, which is near my home in central New York, to Dallas. I still have the picture I took from the airplane of Texas Stadium as you flew into DFW. Then we hopped on Metro Air, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Metro Air from Dallas to Tyler, landed, and then Tyler to Longview, which was, what, a 10-minute flight maybe. And ended up enrolling there, played baseball there a couple of years, had a great experience. Went to a Longview High football game.
There you go.
Longview Lobos, as I recall, right? And
right.
I'd never seen anything like that in the fall of 82. And then my life brought me back. So we moved to Louisiana, Natchitoches, northern Louisiana.
Love Natchitoches.
And then moved to Dallas with the Southland Conference. And I would drive through I-20, got my one speeding ticket, by the way, in life, right outside Tyler, Texas on I-20. I was only doing 76 in the 70 zone.
That's not fair.
Yeah, but I've told people, exit, go to Kilgore, take a right off where Kilgore College is. There was a Dairy Queen. They always got, whether it's the Reese's Cup or the Oreos, right to the bottom of the blizzard. And I made many a drive to Nacogdoches, stopped at Bodacious Barbecue in Longview. I have still a great affection and had really the honor to visit with the Texas owner's Ranger, who shared that experience from upstate New York, Ray Davis, went to Letourneau College. Like I did, and just has had a magnificent life and obviously done a great job leading the Rangers.
Here we are. This, as an old Longhorn, still seems kind of surreal to me. There is a buzz this year. I know every year you have this. This is our first time at this event. But how different is it this year with OU and Texas now involved?
Well, I woke up Monday morning, and usually my speech is at 11 a.m., so I've got 4 or 5 hours to practice. I was on the clock because we start at 9, so the first thing is the schedule's different. More people, and we bring in people like Tyler. So Southland Conference used to play. There was a country club in Tyler where we used to host our golf championship.
Willowbrook.
Yeah, so I
was it
there.
Willowbrook or Holly Tree?
Holly Tree.
Holly Tree.
Holly
there
Tree.
You
yep.
go. All right.
So we bring in people from Tyler via radio, and I've driven, you know, when I was Southland Commissioner along, listening to KTBB and that, I think that's where we keep a lot of our stations from South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, who are here. And it's part of expansion that draws people in. And I think all of it's combined to create the excitement. We had the entry events a couple of weeks ago that really preset what we're doing here, that presets our football season. So a lot of energy and a lot of opportunity.
You were asked Monday, it was a great question, phrased by Matt Houston, a friend of ours from Channel 8, about, you know, what you get with the I-35 corridor from Austin, Texas to Norman, Oklahoma, and all points in between in the state of Texas. You already had the Aggies. How important was this addition to the SEC?
Well, I said to my predecessor, who was considering the addition of Texas A&M, I said, the economic engine of the state of Texas is magnificent. I think you refine that even to the city of Dallas and what it means from a business standpoint, from a visibility standpoint. It's real. Our alumni base, I did not go back and re-grab our research. We have a huge alumni base here from across our conference. Obviously, those from Arkansas, LSU, Texas A&M are going to be in the lead, and now Oklahoma and Texas. But there's a lot of student recruitment that goes on here just based on the admission standards within the state. I'll be in a coffee shop in Birmingham, Alabama, talking to parents who have children at Auburn or at Alabama. You go on to Mississippi, both Mississippi and Mississippi State have students in huge numbers from the state of Texas. And over and over and over, LSU and Arkansas have a tradition being border states. So there's a lot of relationships here. Our Cotton Bowl relationship's strong. The recruiting base, not just for students, but for student athletes in every sport in this area is important and meaningful to us. And so the move is really multifaceted. And our presence here is to say, this is SEC country. A&M did a great job when they joined in 2012. Any kind of border highway when you entered, you saw a billboard with celebrating that addition. And we're just really proud to be here as a 16-team league.
Were they upset, really upset, 3 years ago when this started? And did they get over it?
It was almost at this time 3 years ago that the news broke out of the Houston newspapers early afternoon. And I had several members like, what the heck? And I had provided reports. I knew what was going on. But then when it breaks, it's real. And I give a lot of credit to leadership at Texas A&M to recognize, yep, was there frustration? Certainly. Do I own that? I do to a certain extent. But the world was changing, and we were at the front of that curve. And that has allowed us not to be reacting as others have been reacting over the last few years. And when you look at all that's taken place between 21 and 24, I think it justifies the decision, and I think there's an understanding. But there is a deep, deep rivalry within this state that's now part of the Southeastern Conference.
I heard last week we covered Big 12, too, and heard Commissioner Yormark talking about we're open for business. He talked about branding, realignment. I mean, all of those things, has that changed the way you do your job? Is that what commissioners now have to focus on?
I think we have the strongest and healthiest brand in college sports, period. End of story, end of paragraph, close the book. We absolutely think about that reality. How can we communicate and position ourselves? We think about sponsorships and business activities. That goes back to when I started. We announced a new relationship with Southwest Airlines, which is awesome. We announced another new relationship with Sonic Restaurants, which is great. And that's part of our growth. And so we're focused on those things continually. I have a different approach to communicating about membership growth. And there are four major conferences. They all have different approaches. I think me saying that we're kind of open for business from a membership standpoint is really destabilizing. That's my view. And Brett and I have had really healthy conversations about that, and respectful. I think the R16 is the best group of universities and athletic programs in the nation. I'm not a recruiter. I'm not trying to create pressure around any situation, but I have to pay attention. I would never sit here and think we just need to go to a number, because that's not the right basis for us to make a decision. We want universities that have similar commitments, similar fan bases, similar interests, similar strength across their university academically and their athletic program from a sports standpoint. And everybody has contracts right now. And one of the messages to my presidents is we're not going to be involved in litigation to expand. And when we expand, it shouldn't cost any of us money when we expand. We should be able to grow the pie for everybody.
Should Congress get involved in solving, or that's the word to use, NIL and the transfer portal?
Well, I don't know that they have to solve every part, but we do have to return to some national standards. I think the transfer regulations have now been affected by court decisions, so the ability, forget the portal, that's just kind of the place where you go raise your hand, but that's the nomenclature that's used. A federal court in West Virginia said you're not going to limit the number of transfers. Is there a law that could adjust that? I don't know if that's the best idea. I do go back to these economic issues. You know, an 18-year-old has no consumer protection over the relationship around NIL deals, and you've seen some litigation and some sad stories develop where people are signing away their rights or maybe not paid or making decisions about payment that weren't provided. We've seen collectives who have signed deals say, well, I can't make the payroll, if you will. I do think there needs to be national standards around name, image, and likeness activity. I think this patchwork of state laws is a big problem for young people and just for having nationally competitive sports. We want Final Fours. We want the college football playoff. We want the College World Series. But if states are going to legislate independently how we're going to run college athletic programs, we will eventually run into state high school championships being the ultimate, not the Final Four. I don't think that's good for anyone.
Okay.
And that's where I think Congress can be helpful. Do they have to address every problem? No, we have responsibility for our problems. But if we could have a preemption approach where we limit or eliminate state laws that have created these variances, our student athletes tell us, and they've told Congress, because I've sat with them, to say, we don't want to be employees. We think we're advantaged here as we grow as young people to be students who are athletes and receive benefits. And then I do think some structure around these legal issues that could provide a level of protection. It's not an antitrust exemption, but it's getting us out of changing rules that benefit student-athletes and then being sued for not having done it earlier. Those are the changes where I think Congress could be most constructive.
Have you had a chance to play the video game yet? Have you seen
No. I was asked, but they had two Big Ten teams. I'm like, I'm not playing a game with two Big Ten teams in it. I had the old one, and I found it wasn't a very good use of my time. And, like, people would ask me who I used as teams, and I was like, I have a master's degree from Syracuse, so I'd put Otto the Orange. Their mascot would be one team, and then I'd go find somebody innocuous that wouldn't get me in trouble. I've not had a chance to see it yet.
But, I mean, it is indicative, and I'll kind of wind it down with this. Commissioner Sankey is with us from the SEC. But it is kind of indicative of what the current landscape of college athletics, that a lot of the buzz around here is not just about the Horns and the Sooners, but it's about this video game, EA Sports, college football back after over a decade, and the guys are getting paid for it.
Yeah, and the world has changed, and that was part of litigation 15 years ago. You know, now the conversation about college football, it's not, you know, I'll be clear with you, for like 4 years ago, so this is pre-COVID, talking to our student athletes, we're just talking about where they spend their time, and so they played the FIFA soccer game. Like, really, well, who's your favorite team? So we had a member of one of our football teams grew up in Atlanta, said PSG, and I had to go look at Paris Saint-Germain as a soccer club. And I think that was the gap that was left without the college football game. And so we filled that gap. It's a connection tool to the game. I wish it had existed during COVID, because I thought one of the ideas we could have had just this electronic competition that would have been phenomenal within the SEC. So we'll see what the future holds for these opportunities.
Should be a fun year. This is going to be a monumental year for the SEC.
Oh, it's huge, yeah. It keeps me up at night. My hair is getting grayer and there's less of it, but that's life. That's part of the excitement it's had.